dribble for game back to James. One timer, he's dropped by Markstrom.
Your Vancouver Canucks live here.
Drops off for Horvat, back to Hitler, then to Horvat at the slot. He scores! Oh, Horvat in overtime!
On the home of hockey, Sportsnet 650.
Landeskog turned it over to Horvat.
Here's Scott Rintoul and Mick Nizar.
Well, normally this is a place we talk about the Canucks, and we would normally be teeing up a game tonight against the Arizona Coyotes, which felt pretty big, but is obviously dwarfed in comparison by what is going on around North America, around this planet, that has been somewhat on the back burner and has felt for a lot of people like an over-there problem. It's here, it's big, and this is the context, Bick. Bick Nizar joins me here. This is the context that some people need, and I don't blame them for that. I think everybody gets context from different places. This is the context some people have needed to realize the severity of the matter and how quickly this is spreading and what it means overall.
Yes. And I also want to put like a disclaimer and provide more context. Like, we live in a sports sphere. Right? This is bigger than all of this. And so much of the conversation yesterday, and even I heard this morning, it's, oh, well, you guys in the sports world are inducing fear and panic and all this. I want it to be clear. This is, what we do is fun, and a serious matter has happened, and it involves the sports realm. And with all of this that's happening, we have to have an understanding beyond just wins and losses of, hey, the real world is impacting us. And we have to treat it as such and treat this manner seriously because there are world implications to this. And this isn't about inducing fear because I understand that some of these cases have gone to fatal consequences, but this isn't if you contract it or anything like that. That's where this is going. The conversations jump too quickly to me. Even in the same way we talk about, okay, there's two losses and suddenly people are calling for jobs. Here, like, taking precautions isn't about preventing deaths. It's about a lot of other things, too.
Sure it is, yeah.
And I feel like that conversation gets lost. That because of precautions getting kept in response to this virus, that people leap to the logic of, wow, you guys are talking about suspending the league because you're inducing fear and panic, and people are fearing for their lives. No, this is not about this. It's about a particular virus in itself. And how do you take measures to, you know, preventative measures? And it feels like it gets conflated with death because there have been cases.
Yeah, and we can get into the whole news aspect of this and some of the ramifications that if this isn't taken seriously and dealt with quickly, mm-hmm. We can get into that. I do want to follow up a text I read on the other side that had a detail in it that was incorrect. So I just want to correct that before we move on any further. I was reading on the fly, and it's tough to edit mm-hmm. the longer text. So there was a text that came in from Nolan, talked about how you got to think outside. You got to think about more than just yourself. It's affecting the elderly. It's affecting kids. It's not affecting children to the same degree it's affecting the elderly. In fact, most of what I've read so far, and this changes quickly, yeah. But most of what I've read so far says children have actually been more resistant as far as health risks go beyond contracting it than most general subsets of the population. And someone texted in to make sure that was correct. And that's absolutely true. From everything I've read, hey, I'm a father. I've got a 3-year-old. I've got a 6-year-old. I have the same concerns as anybody else. Hey, what does this mean if it happens to my kids, let alone me, let alone my coworkers, mm-hmm. let alone people I might just come in contact with on a daily basis? And you're right, Bick. This is about far more than, oh, if we don't do something, then there are a bunch of old people. That's about more than that. It's about looking at what happened in Italy, where a medical system for an entire country has been completely overrun, and now they're having to make very difficult decisions about who to treat. And if we don't do this in a progressive and orderly fashion, it can spiral into that in a very progressive country very quickly.
We ended the show yesterday talking about, hey, it's going to take a community to rally together to overcome this. And over the past 24 hours, I noticed a lot of fake toughness. It's like, oh, I'm not worried about that and all this. If you're not worried, look, you choose to do that. I understand and respect your choice of and your course of actions. But understand that people around you and the rest of the world are taking precautions. And maybe have a bit more respect for that. Nothing may come of it, but I would prefer to look back in 2 weeks and say, or 2 years and say, you know what? We probably overreacted. Rather than in 2 weeks say, why weren't we prepared? It's just taking precautionary preventative measures to make sure this doesn't become worse for the NHL family.
Listen, a term we introduced yesterday, we talked about the Canucks trying to find responsible aggression when they have a third period lead. And so we morphed that into, hey, responsible caution when you are protecting something. Just responsible caution. And that's what we're talking about here. Responsible caution. And the bigger message that I've been trying to tell you for the last couple of days, and I will echo, and I don't care if you think I'm too repetitive on this, look out for other people. That's what we're talking about. We get through this together. We get through this by saying, I'm going to help someone out who's not in as good a situation as I am. And we can talk about what Mark Cuban said last night and how that relates. And thinking about your neighbor across the street who might not be able to get to groceries or things you don't normally think about in your everyday life. This pause and the pause that the NHL has taken today and the pause that our industry is taking right now, it gives you that moment to step back, think bigger, think broader, think about those around you, and hopefully create a little bit better humanity in the everyday lives of so many of us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I'll be honest, like, I'm catching up too. I'm catching up to all the information, and there's a lot of very good outlets doing a lot of very good work tracking down the latest news. Our sister station, News 1130, doing fantastic work, keeping you abreast of all the information here locally. But yeah, this is important. And as much as we want sports and hockey to continue, it's the right thing to do. It allows everyone to get their bearings on what has spread faster than fans and sports probably accepted a week ago. And it's just the current reality. And if it's 3 weeks, if it's a month, whatever it is, this seems like the right steps to take.
Yeah, it certainly does. Scott Rintoul, Bick Nizar, get your text in. Subway text line is 650-650. And we can talk about the hockey implications here in just a second. But as you have seen the dominoes fall over the last 18 hours or so, the NBA suspended its season. Tournaments started to follow suit. The MLS said, we're going to put our product on hold for the next 30 days. Major League Baseball is expected to do something this afternoon. CFL Combine has been canceled. The NHL, we all knew, I shouldn't say all, I think most people, as soon as they saw the NBA and thought about the NHL for a second last night, went, they can't play. They can't play. And the NHL came to that conclusion, officially issuing a statement today saying, we're putting the season on pause. It's interesting they chose that word, but they used the word pause because pause makes the assumption of resumption. And they said that they hope to continue the season. They hope to award a Stanley Cup. But that's where we're at right now, and we're into contingency mode. But right now, the news is, okay, guys, we're stopping, and now we have time. Now we have time to figure that. We don't know how long, and that's where they're putting these contingency plans in place as to whether there's any more regular season or whether there's a play-in playoff format or whether there's a truncated playoffs. Nobody knows right now what it looks like. What we know is they put the season on hold. The NHLPA fully endorses it as well. And they've asked NHL owners, what does your building look like through the end of July? So that's the timeline we're operating on right now. But we will get more information as they get more information.
Just changes by the day, hour, minute, obviously. And the term pause is interesting because, okay, you put a pause on this league. And think of the steps that it takes to get to where we are now, right? It started with scouts. It's okay, no trips anymore. And then it goes to media, morning skates, games, season. And where we're at right now is, let's pause because maybe we can start back where we are in 3 weeks, wherever, and still proceed with an 82-game season, 7-game series, and all of that. So suspension fit sounds like you're eliminating games and you're shortening the season. Pause is, we're just in a holding pattern right now. and that may change as we move forward. But that's why that terminology now, it may escalate. But where the NHL is right now, sounds like the goal is to still get the 82 seven-game series. And that may change. But that's why the term of what they're using right now is important.
And I'm not going to say what the minimum or maximum timelines are because no. they don't know either. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they are hopeful that 2 to 3 weeks would be the most ideal, best-case scenario. This is on hold, and then containment happens faster than most experts predict, and we can get going again. I'm sure that's what they're hoping. What will be interesting for them to determine, and I'm not sure where they actually get to on this or when we find out about it, Bick. To me, the most interesting date is the point of no return. What is the point of no return where the NHL, and I don't think they know today, and they might not know tomorrow, they might not know till next week, but what is the point of return where you say, it's not feasible for us to not only finish out whatever portion of the regular season we need to give us the equilibrium to determine which team should be in our truncated playoff format, but we're past the point where we could even have a truncated playoff. What is the point of no return for the league? I have no idea today, but that to me is the most interesting date that they have to come up with. Because there comes a point where you say,
when that would be. Yeah,
there comes a point where you say, guys, unfortunately we had to call off the season. It sucks. We can't handle the Stanley Cup this year. Mm-hmm. It happened 102 years ago or 101 years ago. We couldn't do it then. We can't do it now. And good news is we're going to be ready to go for October because we're past the point of no return. I just don't know what date that is, but that's one of the things they have to figure out in their worst-case scenario.
Yeah, you'd have to figure that'd be somewhere in May or some point. Again, this is pure speculation, unless you're trying to bandy out some ideas. But yeah, and there is a deadline to all of this, because does that suck? Of course. And it's a last-case resort, because sports is still a release for everyone, right? And there's still an ambition to want to put on the product. It just has to be done in a safe manner. We talk so much about player safety, right? It matters to the league that they can assemble 18,000 people together, obviously. And so doing something as irregular as what you're talking about is a last step. But you're right. That conversation has to exist inside the walls of the NHL. It's uncomfortable for us to hear about it and to talk about it and for fans to say, well, I had hopes for my team to win the cup. Sure, but again, this goes back to what we're talking about. Bigger than just ourselves. That's what we're dealing with.
Someone texted in to say, have you heard anything from the AHL? Do we know what they're doing yet? That is from Gary in North Burnaby. No, they've not made a definitive statement, but the AHL to me is going to be exactly like the NHL. Mm-hmm. There's not a choice anymore. This is the obvious conclusion. The only question is, when can you resume, or can you resume this season? The AHL is going to get to the same place. Yes. I know that they don't always go by air, that it's a lot of buses. That's not going to matter. It's still about large groups of people. There's going to be players who have shuttled up and down between mm-hmm. the NHL and AHL who are potential vectors because of the NBA confluence, not to mention the amount of people they've come into contact with. The AHL is going to have to go down the same road. Temporary or not, but they're going to have to go down the same road. The CHL, they're all going there, Bick.
It's going to be interesting to see if there's one sports entity that says, no, we'll be the one that continues. Right? Like, I know there was some NCAA basketball this morning since been those tournaments closed down, but moving forward, like, UFC, are they going to proceed with events? Or whoever it is there going to be one that says, we are not as concerned?
Well, the PGA started down that road today mm-hmm. and quickly had to revert course. The PGA opened its tournament, full galleries, and not everybody would have chosen to come, but then mid-tournament today, opening round, said, from here on in, no galleries. That's not what we're doing. We can't have people coming to the courses. We're going to keep playing our events. We'll do the broadcasts, but we are not going to be actually having people come out to the course. And they're doing that at this time through mm-hmm. April 5th, the Valero Texas Open, which ends that day. They said this can change, but this is our current plan.
Is there again, this is just me having a conversation. Is there a cost benefit to being the only sport that still goes on?
Possibly, yes.
Right?
Yeah, of course. Of course there is. From simply an advertising standpoint, there
right,
is.
Yeah.
If you want to take the easiest outline right there. There are advertisers who were expected to go in NHL games, go in NBA games. Those aren't going on now. Mm-hmm. They're going to play classic games. You're going to see a lot of that. You're going to see classic games hit your airwaves, and people look back on the season for the next couple of days. Hey, if this is in fact it, and we'll do the same. Look, we're a sports station. We're going to look back on what the Canucks season has been today. Not today, mm-hmm. maybe not even tomorrow, but at some point next week, we're going to, hey, here's what the Canucks season has been, and we've received countless texts already. You know what? If they do resume play, Chris Tanev, Jacob Markstrom are going to be healthy. That's not a bad thing, and that could be okay for the Vancouver. So, yes, there are
we'll have those conversations.
Those are all the spinoff conversations. Today's just not the day for that, in my opinion. The speculation conversations and the look back, those are at least a day, if not a weekend away.
North fan Jesse saying, what about WWE and Monster Trucks? I don't believe WWE has suspended. Was it WrestleMania coming up pretty soon?
Well, WrestleMania is coming up. They haven't suspended that. They have a show tomorrow that they haven't even suspended yet.
Well, there you go.
What state is it scheduled to be in?
Michigan, Detroit, I believe.
Okay, so now it's going to be on that state to come out and say this is what we're doing.
Right.
At least that's the thing that shuts her down and nobody has a choice. Or it's on WWE to say, well, in light of what everybody else is doing, we're going to do the exact same thing. Had this one come in, non-sports related, when do schools close in this contagious pandemic? I don't know. I'm not sure. And the one thing that I have thought as a parent this week is, boy, they're just hoping to get to the end of this week because then it's spring break.
Right.
And it's 2 weeks where kids aren't coming together in a school together.
See, I don't have kids. I didn't even know it was spring
break. It's spring break coming up as of this weekend. And listen, maybe it's a point where, to the unsigned text, and again, I'm not trying to speak for the school district or for the province here. Maybe it's a point where they say, well, look, let's just gong the Friday and make spring break one day longer. But that gets people away. Obviously, there are travel restrictions in place right now, and people are putting their own travel restriction place. I had a text come in from Calgary this morning, Bick, where someone said, you know what? We had bought tickets to go to New York this weekend, follow the Flames out there, catch the Rangers Flames game, go to a couple of Broadway shows, and it just doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. He said, we can still go and enjoy the Broadway show, but I just don't feel good about doing it. So we've canceled our trip and we're going to stay here. Hope everybody gets healthy.
Yeah, you can put your own restrictions on yourself. Absolutely. I if I'm not mistaken, I did see some school closures in like the States, in Washington State.
Oh, Seattle has had school closures for sure.
But again, I'm not sure if that's a spring break related thing.
No, they were not scheduled to have spring break right now. Their school year runs differently than ours. So they are having a 2 week break with Seattle schools. I believe in King County, maybe more. I don't have the most up-to-date information, but yeah, I saw that going around social last night because there's a number of kids that not only rely on school for the education, but again, this is a bigger societal issue. They get their meals there. Mm-hmm. Underprivileged youth that come from families where they don't have the means, and that's where they'd have to get lunches. And so they're trying to figure out how to just get these children food over the next 2 weeks, let alone get them education. As said, it puts sports in perspective in a hurry, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It we get so fervent and ramped up over these conversations, and they're fun conversations in perspective. And we treat them very seriously when we talk about power play, bumper spots, and all of that. But in the grand scheme of things, there's bigger things at play. And look, again, this isn't about creating panic or anything, but canceling events and taking measures like this and having people in isolation is to slow down the spread of COVID-19. It's not about, you know, trying to overreacting to anything, but there are positive effects of slowing down the spread. Exactly what we were talking about. In Italy, their medical system has been
overrun
and forced into making decisions that medical personnel shouldn't have to make.
No,
and
not at all.
If these cancellations of events prevents that here locally in North America, wherever, that's helpful.
Major League Baseball, by the way, in the last 10 minutes has just released a statement doing exactly what we thought it would do, which the NHL has done. For what they're doing right now, they are delaying opening day by at least 2 weeks. Opening day was on the horizon 2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. They're going to delay opening day by a couple of weeks after that.
And look, much like we are, everyone's catching up. Now, think about where we were a week ago and think about where we are now. A week ago, this didn't seem like a possibility. So these 2 weeks for all these leagues allows them to catch up. Okay, what are we really dealing with here? How far can this go? And yes, there's talk about how long can the playoffs go? Can we still do this? But let's realistically look at what we're doing. And if you put a pause on everything, it allows you to go back and say, or you know, process the information and see how difficult this obstacle may be to overcome, and then figure out where you're moving forward.
Well, and as you said, sports are our context. So
yes,
the NHL shutting down, the NBA shutting down for right now, MLB, that's what we talk about. But keep in mind, like, Toronto canceled its St. Patrick's Day parade, yeah, which maybe to you is no big deal. But again, that's a big community gathering. There are conferences being canceled.
The Junos were canceled.
The Junos were, again, these are just mm-hmm. examples. Pearl Jam just the other day said, we don't have enough information. We don't want to put people in risk. We're canceling our tour. Like, this is happening all over the place. And this is going to have a wide-ranging effect. Again, this is not something we generally talk about on this show. But when these edicts came down in Seattle, for example. Okay, we're living in Vancouver. It's one thing to say, I'm not going to go down to Seattle. It's a choice I made as of last yeah. week before we got to this point, but I digress. Well, can't have gatherings of more than 250 people. Does that mean a restaurant that has 65 tables or 70 tables of seating four says, okay, well, we've got a cap on that now, and with the people in the okay, so all of a sudden, not as many people are coming in if they're choosing to go. I mean, there's far-ranging effects, and this always circles back to the same point. We got to look out for each other right now. I've mm-hmm. had people tweet me saying, yeah, it's one thing to tell people to stay home, but I rely on contract work. I rely on going somewhere each day. That's how I get paid. I'm hourly, or if I don't take this job, if I stay home, how do I feed myself? And again, this goes to my broader point. We're going to help each other out a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to go buy dinner for my neighbor because his family can't go to work, or his wife is under quarantine. I don't know. I have no idea. But unless we start having those thoughts, we're not going to be able to help each other through this as efficiently and effectively as we could.
A selflessness needs to appear. A selflessness in our community needs to appear. And, I mean, we're just on the heels of an amazingly generous day. Again, through the vehicle of sports, the Canucks for Kids telethon, that was an unbelievable show of generosity from this community. And if that's required over these next 2 weeks, people should rally together, because it's amazing what we can accomplish together. And I see all the texts coming in. I get it. You're frustrated. You'll get over that. And you exactly what you're talking about, Scott. You might need to be there for your neighbor. And I hope we collectively are prepared for that.
Yeah, I just got a text in here from a friend who's in the state and said, I know of hospitals on the East Coast that are currently limiting and trying to figure out which surgeries they can do because they have less protective gear right now. They're running low. Like, there are some fairly dire consequences that don't simply involve the spread of COVID-19 that are resulting from mm-hmm. measures we have to take because of that. That's
absolutely
where we're at.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it goes back to the idea of these measures of canceling major events, popular, necessary for the social conscience of and allowing distractions for people.
Yeah, somebody just texted in, I'm in sales, boys. I'm absolutely yeah. worried and that I'm going to be hooped by all of this.
And canceling these events goes to something bigger. It's exactly what we're talking about. Can we put sports aside to help be part of a solution? Because there is a problem.
Someone just texted in, the high school I graduated from, which is a private school, has preemptively arranged the potential for a fully online remainder of the year.
And this is why you come up with contingency plans.
Yep.
And every business is going to be having their contingency plan. The NHL evoked theirs. It was temporarily pausing the season. And they will assess and reassess in 2 weeks, and we'll see where we are then.
Absolutely. Coming up next, we will talk to someone else who relies on hockey for what he does day to day, but has a pretty decent perspective on it as well. Greg Wyshynski joins us. He of ESPN next on Canucks Central on your home of Canucks hockey, Sportsnet 650.
Now more of Canucks Central on the official home of the Vancouver Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Scott Ritto, Bick Nizar, this is Canucks Central, and obviously, we normally talk about Canucks hockey, and we talk about the game coming up, and there was supposed to be one tonight, and there's not going to be one for quite some time. So obviously, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the implications. We're talking about what we're going through as a city right now, as a community, and this is a place for you to go through some form of catharsis as well. You can text in. Subway text line 650-650, not only the impact sports has, but listen, we're all in this together. You want to talk about the impact this is having on you? We've had people in different professions say, yeah, this is affecting me on a different level than perhaps it's affecting other people. I'm a little bit worried about that. Someone, Jeff and Nanaimo, again, talking about a great event that went on last weekend, but no chance it would have gone on there. He said, I'm super pumped that Rugby Sevens was last weekend. Amazing tournament, amazing showing by Canada. I don't think it would happen this weekend, and there will be some. Listen, this is going to be part of the discussion going forward. There will be some that say Rugby Sevens or the Vancouver Canucks or name your sports entity screwed up. They should have gotten ahead of us. They should have canceled. Yes, in hindsight, it's 2020. We can all go down that road. We can play that out to provincial governments or federal governments or provincial health entities should have recommended or should have imposed ban. We can go down that. You can figure out for you where the buck stops. Here's where we're at.
Yes.
What can we do now?
I very much look at it from a point of view of how can we make the best of where we are now, right? And I choose that philosophy in a lot of stuff, right? How do you make the best of the hand you've been dealt? So today, this is the hand we've been dealt, you move forward. And oftentimes, look, is that too optimistic in nature? Is that too positive? Sure, and I'll plead guilty on that. But you control what you can control, right? How do you make the best of this current situation that we're in? And one of the steps has obviously been taken forward by the NHL. This is the right measure in their eyes to do this now and figure out what it is in 2 weeks' time, or however long this takes. And by that point, we can start talking about gate revenue and playoffs. What would that look like? And the steps going in of, well, how do you decide playoff teams? And I see a lot of texts coming in of, well, is there a chance they do this? Absolutely. Look, there's a chance they can do any number of things right now. Today, what they've done is pause the league. And we can have all the conversations of different ideas to put forth, sure, but that all might get dated in 48 hours. And those would all be speculative talks right now.
Yeah, and what you're going to see is a lot of speculation and a lot of creativity. And you know something? There might be a general hockey fan that proposes an idea that gets traction in a market that the NHL never thought of that actually gets adopted at some point. You have no idea. I don't know where it's going to go. But yes, we're going to get to those discussions, and the NHL is as well. Today was about them all being unified in a stance. That's why they had the call before they did what we knew was inevitable and what is inevitable for all of these leagues. Look, I'm not going to sit here and wag my finger at the WHL or the CHL for not having issued a statement at this point, because I know that's coming later today or it's coming tomorrow morning. Like, that's where we're going with all of this. Large gatherings are being shut down.
Same thing with the people texting in about, okay, what about Hockey Canada, BC Hockey, all of this? Look, exercise patience here too.
Some of it's about timelines as well.
Yes.
Some of it's about timelines. It's one of the reasons that you saw under 18 tournaments canceled, the Women's World Championship canceled, but they hadn't canceled the Men's World Championship because that was further down the line. The NFL, for example, doesn't have to do anything right now. The NFL has to say, okay, at what point do we have to change the draft? Yeah. That's the next big thing on its calendar. It got through its combine, and now, okay, everybody's supposed to get together in Vegas. We can actually do that pretty easily with technology, even though we'd prefer to do it that way. Hey, that's a blip.
They've stopped some of their scouts going to pro day visits.
Yes.
They stopped some of their in-person visits for prospects. And this may lead to a course of, okay, the draft isn't an event. The players might be there, but fans, not so much. And we might just have to have a televised draft of, well, this player gets announced, and that's all it is. If that's where it goes, they're allowed to do that. And free agency, okay, there might not be any free agent tours.
But so you can still FaceTime.
They're still able to continue on with their league year unlike all the other sports right now.
I don't know. How are we going to figure out what Tom Brady's like if we don't have him at our facility? I think he'll figure it out. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN joins us. Greg, thank you very much for doing this. How are you doing today?
Doing fine. I mean, it's a pretty surreal one, that's for sure.
It is.
All things considered, it's good that the speculation has ended for the most part, and we can kind of all move forward on trying to figure out exactly how long this is going to take.
You're right. It's surreal, and it's happened rather suddenly. Whether we should have seen it coming this quickly or not is beside the point. It feels like it's happened rather suddenly. Look, we've talked in recent times, and you've always had what I feel is a fairly good perspective on this, that you've been able to have that step back before we even got to this point. How has your view on not just sports, but what's going on where you live changed in the last 24 hours?
No, I mean, it's the same. I mean, I think that once the NBA domino fell, it was pretty obvious that everyone else is going to have to fall in line behind it. And, I've said for a while now, and maybe this is just because of my perspective living in Santa Clara County, where things got going pretty quickly insofar as prevention, you just need to do what you can to slow the outbreak. I mean, the bottom line is that we are not prepared from a testing standpoint, or from a hospital standpoint, whether it's preparation of emergency rooms and ICUs and all that stuff for this, you know, pandemic. Look no further than Italy, look no further than other places that are dealing with this right now. To get ahead of this as much as we can is imperative. And if it, you know, you don't need to have 17,000 people in close proximity with each other during an outbreak like this, then don't have them. And just deal with it accordingly. And so, you know, all the pro leagues, I think, are making the right decision. Take a step back, you know, wait days, see where we are, and then, you know, go from there.
Yeah, I think what you're saying there is, you know, very sound, because, you know, what we've seen the last 24 hours is, it's tough because, yeah, people don't want to have fear and panic, you know, brought upon them when moments like this are happening around the world. But a large part of this is, you know, kind of catching up to what maybe the collective world has fallen behind and catching up to what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, no two responses need to be the same. I mean, you have hockey leagues in places like Germany, which I wrote about today on ESPN, talking to Jeff Zatkoff, a former goalie with the Penguins, whose German league team canceled their season a few days before the playoffs were supposed to start. So now all of a sudden you look back at the last few months and say, what was that all worth? It doesn't have to be a one-size-fits-all solution for these leagues. It's okay to pause or postpone rather than outright canceling if that's what you think the right course of action is going to be. And you know, it'll be interesting to see now what the NHL does for next steps insofar as, you know, is it going to be 30 days? Is it going to be more than that? What do they need to see in order to feel comfortable about playing again, be it in empty buildings or with fans there? There's a lot at stake, and it goes beyond that too. I mean, we haven't even gotten into the sort of players association aspects of this situation, which is if there's a revenue shortfall, how do they make that up vis-a-vis escrow? Mm-hmm. Do the players get paid? Are the players going to be tested? I was going back and forth with Bill Daly earlier today about, you know, who's responsible for the players getting tested. It's on the teams. And right now we're all waiting for the further manufacturing of tests here in the U.S. to even get to that point. So there's a lot of stuff still up in the air, but it has to begin with calling off the games and taking a step back so it can all be addressed.
Yeah. Before we get to like salary cap projections and all the minutiae of this, like the bigger issue here, or the first thing that has to get figured out is, okay, when do they return? What to you sounds like best case scenario that works out for the NHL?
For getting back on the ice?
Yeah.
So I had one source with the players speculate that best case scenario would be like 2 to 3 weeks. You play a couple of regular season games, you end up with less than 82, and then you play maybe a truncated playoff where the first couple of rounds are, you know, five-game series maybe, and then you get into the longer series in the championship rounds. I think 2 to 3 weeks is crazy optimistic. I don't quite think we're going to be there. I think it's going to be at least a month before they even consider what their next steps are going to be. But, you know, I really feel like all options have to be on the table. You know, this is already sort of an unprecedented thing that's happened. Once you start delaying the regular season and maybe playing less than 8 games, well, you know, there's going to be an asterisk next to it anyway. So, you know, put 5-game series on the table, put a reduced playoff round. I mean, put it all on the table. And if you can do it in a way where we all feel like the fans and the players and the team staff and the arena personnel are going to be safe, then, you know, go ahead and kind of reshape the rest of your season however you seem fit, with the acknowledgement that this is just going to be a weird one in the record books.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN with us, and you're right. And again, these are conversations for coming days, but there may be something that comes out of this that the NHL actually uses going forward as a result of having to use a measure this year. But that's all speculation at this point. And I agree with you, 2-3 weeks seems crazy optimistic. The bigger date to me that they're going to have to come up with, which I don't have an answer to right now, Wish, is what's the point of no return? What's the point where you say, look, here's contingency A, B, C, D, all the way down the line. But if we get to this date, now all we're looking at is starting the season next year.
Yeah, and I think that's the real question. I mean, you could easily just write off the regular season and just say, look, you know, what happened. It's out of our control. We apologize to the teams that only got to play 69 games instead of 71. But we're going with points percentage, and here are our playoff teams. And, you know, we've laid it out on ESPN.com today. I mentioned it on Twitter today. That would mean that a couple of teams that have more points than their rivals would not get in just based on their point percentages. And those teams would be the Blue Jackets and the Winnipeg Jets. They would not be in. The teams that they are currently in front of would get in because of the having a better points percentage. So if you want to do it that way, that's fine. But then you have to budget out, you know, how long you'd need for 4 rounds of the playoffs and what do those series look like. And then the real pickle is going to be, you know, you're talking about now if you're pushing past where you'd expect the final to end, you know, in early or mid-June. Let's say you're pushing past that. Let's say you're pushing into the beginning of July for a Stanley Cup final. Well, now you're talking about a whole new level of building availability questions. Because not only are you rescheduling, but the NBA is rescheduling too. And a lot of teams obviously share buildings with their NBA counterparts. So now you're talking about buildings trying to find dates for two leagues, both trying to reschedule their stuff deep into the summer. And it's going to get real complicated.
Well, that's really interesting too, Greg, because, you know, how much – yes, leagues kind of took their cue from the NBA being the first to react yesterday, but this is obviously going to be a joint effort to figure all of this out.
Oh, for sure. And I think it's been a joint effort between these leagues the entire way through. I mean, don't forget, you know, where we were a week ago, which seems like 10 years ago now. But like a week ago, we were at the point of closing the dressing rooms to the media.
Right.
And all major pro sports leagues that are active at this time conspiring to come up with a policy together. And then the closures of travel for agents for scouts rather and others. All these leagues were kind of on the same page with that. And then we're, you know, the NBA and NHL both talking about playing in empty arenas at the same time. So there's clear coordination between these major sports, be it basketball, hockey, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer. They're all working together to kind of figure this thing out. And so when it comes down to potentially restarting the seasons, I imagine there's definitely going to be some coordination between them and on when to go and how they're going to go. It's never going to be a situation where the NHL is on its own island saying, yeah, we feel comfortable doing this while the NBA is on the sidelines.
Well, and hopefully they're going to work together. And I agree that's what they're going to do, because if they don't, if it just comes down to business, I believe that the NBA has priority in every building that it has a team. I think that's part of the NBA contract. So the NHL would play a second fiddle if it just came down to business. But like the rest of us, we're all going to have to get along here. We're all going to have to work together. All of the stuff about salary caps and projections, to me, I think it's a little misguided. I understand why there's fear about it, but you tell me where you come from. I see a season in 2012-2013 where they said, well, yeah, it's only 48 games, so we're going to have to put a salary cap in place that isn't prorated the same way the season is. There are temporary measures to alleviate that type of burden, are there not?
Yeah, and yeah, of course there are. And, you know, it'll have to be collectively bargained, but I'm sure there's going to be some remedies to make sure that teams aren't having to, you know, cut 5 guys off of their payroll before the beginning of next season. The playoffs generate around $250 million for the league. So that's what you're looking at right now if, in fact, they don't play a postseason. You combine that with about $100 million left on the table for the last 12 or so games of the regular season. And so you're talking about the reduction of a $5 million revenue nut down to maybe $4.5 billion, rather, down to like 4.6 or in that neighborhood. And so there's going to have to be a way to make up that money. And the interesting thing right now is, you know, is that going to be a situation where the players' paychecks for the next, you know, month and a half, 2 months are put directly into escrow in order to make up that windfall this season? Or is it going to be a situation where there's a revenue shortfall, the players get a bigger chunk of the revenue, and to equal that out, they have to take some money from them in the following season with some much larger escrow number? So those are the kinds of things that are going to be kind of sussed out behind the scenes right now. And a lot of that, of course, is contingent on there not being a postseason, which is clearly something on the table. But I think even the NHL in their statement today said, look, the goal is to play the Stanley Cup playoffs. And so you have to imagine that's still going to be something that they have their eyes on, even if we get closer to June.
Not surprisingly, they chose their words carefully, including the use of the word pause, which assumes resumption. It's true. I mean, there's a reason they used that word instead of a suspension. I really believe that.
Oh, yeah, and I already got admonished by somebody from the league for using the word postponed or suspended rather than using the word paused. And, you know, actually, it's funny, like, as we've done all this reporting on the things that have been affected by coronavirus in the last month, like, it's incredible to me how many people don't know the difference between postponed and canceled. Like, when Santa Clara County came out and said that, you know, all the events at SAP Center, the Sharks Arena, had to be postponed, and then the local paper here said they were, like, the Sharks games were canceled. Well, no, canceled means they're not never happening. Canceled means three home games are never coming back, and we're not at that point yet. So it's been an interesting study in the language in the last month for the people that are talking about and reporting on this stuff.
Well, this is the type of thing we're going to be poring over in coming days. Greg, thank you very much for doing this. We'll talk soon. I'm not sure exactly what we'll talk about, but we'll talk soon, all right?
You got it, boys. Thanks.
That is Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.
Canucks Sports and Entertainment just releasing a statement supporting the National Hockey League to pause the 2019-20 season due to the spread of the COVID-19 virus. They're committed to sharing more information as soon as possible. In the meantime, ticket holders for upcoming Canucks games are encouraged to keep their tickets until further information becomes available.
Yeah, this was a concern, and I understand it. There's a financial component to many people's investment in this team, and obviously that is something, if you're not going to get your product, you want to know if you're going to get a refund. That is a logical deduction, but again, because the season has been paused and hopes to be resumed, I'm sure there is hope on the side of the Canucks and every other member team in the National Hockey League that it's not going to have to be a full refund, because we expect to have you back for games. We're all crossing our fingers. We're all hoping. That's where they're coming at from a business standpoint.
And again, this is a fluid situation.
Oh, yeah.
A statement today may contradict a statement from 2 weeks from now, but as of now, again, from the Canucks Sports and Entertainment, if you are one of the people that are worried about how your investment is impacted, you're encouraged to keep your tickets until further information.
Jeff from Saskatchewan here. We'll read a couple more texts before we get to the end of the hour. Huge Canucks fan. I support this move. I hope there's a fair outcome when it starts back up. Biggest thing for me, and he's talking personally, is economic and mental health effects for me. I use hockey to relax during my business's busy times. Yeah. I get it. Everybody's going to go through something different. We all use sports for a different reason. And hey, it's my livelihood. It's your livelihood.
Yep.
I'm not worried about that aspect of it for me, but that's what we're asking you today, where you're at and how this is going to affect you moving forward. Almost every text we received, almost everyone today, I don't know what you guys saw yesterday, Bic, but almost every text we've received today has been pretty reasonable.
Today seems a bit more supportive. Yesterday, you know, again, just during the program, all indications were we were heading towards this. And even attempting that conversation was met with a significant amount of pushback yesterday. And again, I'll extend the same courtesy to the texters and the listeners that we're having today. This is not about having panic or anything. This is just about having a conversation and understanding and seeing where how leagues are treating this.
Well, I think part of it, Bick, is that people had overnight to digest it. I'm sure some people came to the same same realization last night that most of us did when the NBA shut down its season, at least temporarily. I think people went, okay, the NHL is going to have to follow suit. They can't be playing right now. And so people have had some time to digest that, and usually with time comes a little more rationality. You hear something right away, and something that you love, and I'll use that word in quotation marks, gets taken away from you, and there's an emotional reaction, and that reaction isn't always a logical, well-thought-out one, and sometimes you say things you'd rather take back.
Another text here, interesting twist, is how it will work with UFAs, RFAs. They do indeed play games past June 30th. Again, here's the thing. If the entire league calendar is pushed back, everything will get pushed back.
Well, and that'll have to be agreed on by the NHLPA, yes. But they will have to give their blessing. They'll have to give their endorsement of that. Mm-hmm. It's not just, oh, well, we're not under contract as of July 1st. No, they would say, unique circumstance. We understand that anything dated that day is going to be rolled forward because we all want this as well. Mm-hmm. Again, if we get to that point in time. I know what you're talking about today, Bick. Do you know who's coming on to talk with you about it on the program this afternoon?
We'll continue with some of the COVID-19 conversation, obviously. Emily Kaplan of ESPN is going to be joining us. She's been on top of the story as well. So she'll be joining us at 4:30 later today.
We obviously, like any workplace, don't have all of our hands on deck because, hey, this has affected different workplaces in different ways. Marcus Fitzgerald's going to jump in the chair today with Dan Riccio. Reach Deep is coming your way next. I'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. I've seen texts saying, I don't know what you guys need to talk about. Hey, man, I've lived through a lockout. I know all about this. We will find things, believe me. And tomorrow's not when you need to be worried about.
Yeah.
A month from now, okay, we'll see.
Hey, look, this is an opportunity for us to have fun.
Yes.
Right?
Not today.
No, not today. And I do want to also highlight that. Like, this is a sports station. We live in a sports world. If you want up-to-date information on the actual virus coverage itself, you can find that. But just understand, like, we are going to have some fun at some point. Today is not the day for it, but we will continue to bring you shows.
Including Reach Deep. It's next right here on your home of the Canucks. As soon as they're back playing hockey, Sportsnet 650.